Good morning. This morning we continue the series, I Never Thought I Would. Last week Thomas shared on, I never thought I would be betrayed. And he talked about how we can seek forgiveness and get forgiveness given to our betrayer. And then Thomas said this. He said, I know I have forgiven when I no longer hold my betrayer responsible for the quality of my life. That is so powerful. Thomas, that was so great. Thank you for that wonderful message last week. Today we move on. Let's talk about this. I never thought I would experience great loss. Loss. Loss of a job. Loss of a good reputation. Loss of finances. Loss of good health. Loss of influence. Loss of trust. Loss of material possessions. Loss of a loved one. We will all experience loss in our lifetime. And most likely when that loss comes, we will respond, I never thought it would happen to me. I never expected to experience such great loss. After all, the odds are in my favor. What are the chances that I would be struck by lightning? What are the chances that my house would burn down? What are the chances that my godly spouse would have an affair? What are the chances that my child would be in an accident? Now, we know we'll have some loss, but it's just so unlikely that we would experience devastating loss. Are we not exempt from devastating loss? I mean, don't we get extra privileges because we're Christ followers? Doesn't God promise to protect me and take care of me? I mean, God wouldn't let me die in a plane accident. He wouldn't let me get shot in the head in a bank robbery. I would never be abducted. Well, there's Job. The Bible says that Job was an honest man, totally devoted to God. Probably more devoted to God than we will ever be. Now, you thought Alexander had the horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day? No, it was Job. Job had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. He gets up one morning, and his day starts like this. All of his donkeys and oxen are stolen, and his field hands are killed. And then lightning strikes all of his sheep and shepherds, and they all burn to death. And then the Chaldeans come, and they raid all of his camels and massacre the camel drivers. And then a tornado hits his house. His children are in the house, and they all die. Job had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Now, if Job, a man totally devoted to God, if he was not exempt from loss, well, we're not either. And so if some loss is going to come our way, we really don't expect it, but if it comes, we better get prepared. So we buy insurance. We could die and leave loved ones behind, so we buy life insurance. Our house could burn down. We could have hail damage, flood damage. We buy homeowners insurance. We could have a car accident. We buy auto insurance. We could end up in the hospital. We buy medical insurance. We make out a will. We arrange who will be the guardian of our children in case we die. We buy carbon monoxide detectors for our home. We put money in savings so we won't face bankruptcy. We keep our resume updated in case we lose our job. We get marriage counseling in case we lose a spouse. We put blocks on all of our kids' electronics so they won't lose their purity. And then we have a dozen different passwords ourselves to keep all of our information safe so we don't lose our identity. And so then after we've done everything we can to prepare for a loss, then we wait. We wait. How we wait is determined by where we set the thermostat. Now, we could set the thermostat over here on freezing cold. And if we're over here, we're waiting for that loss to come with an attitude of fatalism. Fatalism is that passivity that comes from believing that people are powerless against fate. We'll have disasters, we'll have losses, can't do anything about it. It's like in the movie, What About Bob? When Sigmund says to Bob, you're going to die, I'm going to die, we're all going to die. What difference does it make if it's 80 years from now or tomorrow? You're going to die. What else is there? Fatalism. Losses will come. Disasters will come. Can't do anything about it anyway. Not even going to worry about it. This is one way to wait for our losses. Or we can set the thermostat way over here on boiling hot. And if we're waiting over here, we're waiting for that loss to come with an attitude of fear. We fear the loss. People over here get in their cars in the morning and they think, oh, I hope I don't have an accident. They come home, oh, my house didn't burn down. They drive by a hospital, oh, I'm so glad I'm not in there. They give a sigh of relief at the end of the day, oh, I didn't lose my job. They sit at the table with their family, oh, we're all here safe. People over here live with this constant fear of some loss, of some disaster. Now, somewhere between fatalism and fear is that perfect temperature straight up where we set our thermostat to faith. Faith is saying, oh, yes, we will have disasters. Oh, yes, we will have losses. But Christ will walk with us through them. Not fatalism, not fear, but faith. Well, now that sounds good. But I don't know how many of us really live right here with a spiritual attitude that everything is just great. James 1 says this, consider it a gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Well, I don't know about you, but when I face a loss, I don't consider it a gift. When I face a loss, I don't say, oh, thank you, God, for this loss. Because this faith right here is not easy. This faith does not come naturally. This kind of faith right here only comes with the power and presence of the Spirit of God. Now, I would say for most of us here, we, when it comes to loss, we're somewhere between fear and faith. Maybe, oh, I don't know, maybe right about here. Because I believe some fear is a part of all loss. Our first reaction to loss is fear. We say, oh, no. The house burned down. Oh, no. I want a divorce. Oh, no. You're fired. Oh, no. There's been an accident. Oh, no. And our first response to loss is, oh, no. That was Jehoshaphat's first response to his loss. Look at 2 Chronicles 20. It says this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Now, the Moabites, they are wicked, horrible, hateful idolaters. They worship idols. And alone, they are very powerful. But they're not coming alone. They're bringing a coalition. They're bringing the Ammonites and the Meunites with them. And together they're going to attack God's people who are ruled by King Jehoshaphat. And we read in verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Well, of course he's afraid. This is not some neighborhood bully who's picking a fight. This is a coalition of mighty warriors who are on their way to destroy God's people. And King Jehoshaphat is at risk for great loss. Loss of his land, loss of his cattle, loss of his possessions, loss of his power, loss of his people, loss of his life. And he's afraid. And he says, oh no. But just because he's right here with that initial, oh no, does not mean he lives in fear. He's not bowing down to fear. He's not controlled by fear. He's not over here paralyzed by fear. Because it is possible to have that initial, oh no, and not really be really afraid. So here come the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meunites. And Jehoshaphat is, oh no, but he doesn't run. He doesn't hide. He doesn't panic. He doesn't have a meltdown. Why is that? Well, look back at verse 3. It says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord. He set his face right here. He set his thermostat to faith, and he went from oh no to oh yes, because Jehoshaphat had determined ahead of time to live a lifestyle where his mind was always here. It was right here. So when the Moabites came, he's over here, oh no, but he quickly went right back here because this he had lived a lifestyle. This is where he set his mind on God. And he set it here way before the Moabites ever showed up. And so Jehoshaphat gets the people together and he says this, "Oh Lord, you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." No panic, because he has determined ahead of time what to do in case of a loss. His mind's right here. This battle's God's. We lose, we lose. We win, we win. The outcome's in God's hands. Doesn't matter. And then God said to Jehoshaphat, "Do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Now Daniel, in the book of Daniel, we realize that he responded the same way. And Daniel over here, King Nebuchadnezzar says, "Eat the food that's been offered to idols." Daniel says, "No, I'm not going to do that." King Nebuchadnezzar says, "I want you to bow down to the statue that looks like me." Daniel says, "No, I won't do that." King Nebuchadnezzar says, "Pray only to me." And Daniel says, "No." And so Daniel is lowered into a den of hungry lions ready to devour him. I'm sure he's right there, "Oh no." But his "oh no" changes to "oh yes," because he had his mind set on God. Look at Daniel chapter 10. "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard." His heart was here. He had already set his thermostat to faith. So when he's going down in the lion's den, this is where he's at. And he set his mind here way before King Nebuchadnezzar showed up. I think there's something we can learn from Jehoshaphat and from Daniel when it comes to loss. We can live over here paralyzed by fear of loss and disaster, or we can set our thermostat to faith ahead of time before the loss comes. That's what God tells us to do. Romans 8 says this, "Live according to the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit." To set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. There's that phrase again, set your mind on the Spirit. Set your thermostat to faith. And if we do, we will have what? Life and peace. Well, what's the opposite of this verse? If we're not setting our thermostat here on faith, then we're setting it over here on fear. And if we live in fear, then we'll live with defeat and anxiety. Well, I don't want to live with defeat and anxiety. I want to face my losses with life and peace. God says, set your thermostat here. Set it, put your mind right here on me. Well, how do we do that? How do we set our thermostat to faith when our whole world is falling apart? When we lose our job, we lose our influence, we lose our good reputation, we lose a marriage, we lose that promotion we wanted so badly, we lose a relationship, all relationships, we keep trying to have a relationship, no one's there. How do we do that? Let me share some of the things that God's teaching me about loss. How do I set my thermostat to faith? Number one, by looking down. Looking down. Now, when loss comes, what do? We look up. "Oh, God, this is a disaster. I don't know what to do. Where are you? Help me. This is awful." And instead of looking up, I need to seat myself in the heavenlies where God is and look down at my loss as God sees it. So how does God see my loss? Here's what I know to be true. Number one, God has not withdrawn his love and mercy. He's not out to make my life miserable. He's not singling me out. God says that nothing will separate me from his love. Another thing I know to be true is that this loss is not a mistake. It's not. Because God could have intervened at any time to stop that loss from happening. He could have stopped that car accident. He could have stopped that financial disaster. He could have stopped that teen from turning to drugs. He could have stopped that cancer from growing in your body. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. And he's not wringing his hands thinking, "Oh, how did this happen?" God is orchestrating the events of your life. And as long as we live in this sinful world, there will be pain and there will be loss. But God says in Psalm 57 that he is fulfilling his purposes for us. So I can sit down here, oh God, this is terrible. Or I can seat myself with God and look down and think, well, God's in control of this. He knows what he's doing. You know, my mom really helped me understand about loss with a phrase called, so what? I remember when Steve and I were having a hard time financially. And I'm complaining to my mom and saying, oh, Mom, we can't pay our bills. And she said, well, Bonnie, so what? And I said, well, Mom, they'll take our furniture away. And she said, well, Bonnie, so what? I mean, now I'm mad. You know, does she not see how serious this is? And I said, Mom, if we don't pay our rent, your grandchildren are going to live on the street. And she said, Bonnie, so what? Is your God not big enough to take care of your children on the street? Wow. Of course he was. And I was sitting here saying, oh God, what are we going to do about our finances? And I needed to sit up with God and think, well, God's in control of all of this. You may say this morning, well, people are lying about me. Well, so what if they are? Well, I could get a bad reputation. Well, what if you do? Well, my bad reputation could cost me my job. Well, so what if it does? Isn't God able to take care of you jobless? You may say, I'm afraid I'm going to have a child with a handicap. Well, so what if you do? Well, I'll always have to be there. Well, so what? Well, what if I can't be there for my child? Well, so what if you can't? Will not God, who allowed your child to be born with a disability, not also always be there for everything your child needs? You see, loss comes and we work ourselves in this panic because we're looking up and we're over here, all this fear. And God says, no, set your thermostat here by looking down. So what if it all falls apart? God says, I've got it. Looking down. I set my thermostat to faith by looking down and seeing my loss as God sees it. Another way I set my thermostat to faith is by embracing the presence of God. Embracing the presence of God. You know, loss can look like abandonment. Something's taken away, and we feel, boy, God just left me stranded here. Well, he didn't. You're not alone in your loss. Jesus is present in your loss. I love to picture the presence of God all around me. Steve and I would often pray a prayer of blessing on people as they would leave our house. And the prayer went like this. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you peace. When I experience a loss, I want to experience Jesus in all these ways. First of all, he goes before me to show me the way. When I was a child, we had this fruit cellar in our basement. Scary. Creaky door. And there was a light bulb with a string on it, but that was way inside. And my sister and I would try to push each other in first. You go first. No, you go first. And I was the youngest, so I always had to go in first. And I'm not sure what I was looking for, but I'd check it out and I'd turn around and I'd say, okay, it's okay, come on through. Every day is like walking in a fruit cellar. We have no idea what potential loss is for us out there today. But you see, God, he goes in first. He has already lived April 19th, 2015. He has already experienced everything we will experience today. And he turns around and he says, it's okay, I checked it out. And he puts out his hand and we take his hand and he guides us through. Do you see how that helps me set my thermostat to faith? Instead of living over here in fear of a loss, God says, it's okay, I checked it out. I already walked through this loss that you're going to experience, and I say it's okay. God goes before me to show me the way. Then he's behind me to encourage me. I remember my first two-wheeler, it was a blue bike with this funny horn on it, and I'm hanging on to the handlebars, and my dad's running behind, hanging onto the back. He says, you can do this, Bonnie. Don't be afraid. I've got you. You've got it. That's how I picture God. Behind me, whispering in my ear, Bonnie, you've got it. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. God, what does he say while he's behind me? He uses scripture. God says, do not anxiously look about you, for I will uphold you to difficulties. God says, have no fear of sudden disaster, for I will be your confidence. God says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, for I'll be with you wherever you go. And God is behind me whispering, you can do it, you can do it. I've got the back of the bike, Bonnie. I've got it. You can get through this loss. So he goes before me. He goes into my loss. He's experienced it. He's behind me, encouraging me. And then he's beside me to be my friend. When my mom died, hundreds of people were at the funeral, and they're all saying, oh, she was a wonderful woman of God, and she's with Jesus now. All true. But my close friends, they didn't say anything. They held my hand. They put their arm around me. They cried with me. That's what Jesus does. He's just there. And he says nothing. Now, if I want him to talk to me, that's when he's behind me, whispering in my ears. But sometimes I just need to know that Jesus is there. And all the pain I feel in my loss, he feels it. All of my deep mourning, he mourns. And as I cry, he cries. He's there. He's not in some distant place when I have a loss. He's right there. And he puts his arm around me and he says, just lean on me. My loss, God goes before me. He faces that loss before I'm there. He's behind me, encouraging me. He's beside me to be my friend. Then he's above me to watch over. Now, God gives the angels the responsibility of watching over us. Psalm 91 says, I will give your angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, to keep you in all your ways. Keep, the word is shamar. It means they preserve, they hover over, they protect us in all our ways. The word is kol, in any way, in every way, in totality. The angels are there. So I'm in my loss, ready to fall apart, but the angels of God are right there. And they're preserving me so I don't have to fall apart. God goes before me, behind me, beside me, above me, and then he goes within me to give me peace. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every circumstance. Well, that just about covers it. Peace at all times and in every circumstance. There is never a time I need to be without peace. There is never a circumstance where I need to be without peace. The presence of God is a wonderful thing. And God says, set your thermostat on faith. Set your mind in the truth that you are not abandoned. Because Satan wants to come by and say, well, look what God did to you. Now you're all alone. We're not alone. God's before us and behind us and beside us and above us and within us. He is present in our loss, in our disaster. He is there. He is there. So I set my thermostat to faith by looking down, by seeing this loss as God sees it. I set my thermostat to faith by embracing the presence of God. And then I set my thermostat to faith, number three, by knowing the promises of God. Knowing the promises of God. Now, if your house burns down today, you know exactly what to do. You call your insurance company, and they'll look up all your documentation and paperwork and tell you how you're covered. If you have a car accident today, you know exactly what to do. You pull that little thing out of your glove compartment there, your proof of insurance, and you call that number, and they'll tell you how you're covered. But what about other losses where you're not covered? What if your child runs away from home? What if your child is abducted today? What if you don't get that promotion that you so badly wanted? What if you keep getting rejected with every relationship you try to start? You need God. And if you want to know how God's going to cover you in your loss, then you need to know the promises of God. If you went home today and found out that one of your loved ones had died, do you know where you would look in the Bible for that promise? If you don't, When that loss comes, you're going to take your Bible and you're going to be flipping through pages. God, where are you? This is devastating. I can't handle this alone. Help me. And the more you keep doing this, the faster that temperature is falling to extreme loss and extreme fear. You will be in fear. We need to set that thermostat ahead of time before that loss comes. So at the very first sign of loss, we've got it just like that. We can pull it out just like the insurance agent pulls out your file. Here's the promise that God said he would cover me. So let's set our mind on a promise right now. Here's a good one. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Read this with me. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Do you see all the alls in there? He's able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Wonderful verse for loss. Who's going to take care of us? God. God who is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you. What's grace? Well, I've just lost everything. And God comes by and he says, well, I have everything. Everything you need, all of my riches, everything I own, everything you don't even deserve, I've got it all for you. That's grace. This is a sign for grace. We get it all. God is able in my loss to make all grace abound to me. Interesting word, abound. God doesn't say, well, I'll sprinkle a little grace on you. I'll help you out a little bit. No. He's going to give us so much grace, it just overflows. It abounds. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Say that with me. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now, you remember it a lot better if you do motions. So if you're not too intimidated, do them with me, starting with God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Let's do it again. God is able to make all grace abound to you. The verse goes on, so that in all things, that's in every loss, in the loss of a spouse, in the loss of a friend, in the loss of my finance, in the loss of everything, in all things, and at all times. So it's a little loss, I lose my keys. It's a big loss, I lose my spouse. At all times, God says his grace will be there for the big losses and the small losses, so that in all things, at all times. And then it says, having all that you need. Imagine what you will need if your deepest secrets are exposed and you lose your good reputation. Imagine what you'll need if you find out you're going to die in 2 months. God says, you will have all you need. So we take it. God, I need grace. I need patience. I need money for doctor bills. I need my friends. I need my family. I need, and we just take it all. Having all that you need, take it all. And then it ends, you will abound. There's that word again. You will abound. You will overflow. You will flourish. We have a loss. We think the world's coming to an end. God says, oh, no, you're going to flourish because I'll give you all that you need. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Try that with me, starting so that. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Now let's do with hand motions. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Let's put 2 Corinthians 9:8 together, starting with God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Take the words off the screen. 2 Corinthians 9:8 starts with God is able. Here we go. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. One more time. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. Hang on to that verse. Good job. Did great. You want to hang on to that verse because you need that insurance. You need that paperwork, that documentation that God's got you covered. There it is. That's a promise of God that says, when you have a loss, my grace will so abound to you that you will flourish. The promises of God. Well, I don't know where you are in losses today. I don't know if you're in the middle of experiencing a very deep loss. You may be on a holding pattern between losses. But God says, set your thermostat on faith. Three ways to do that. Number one, start living a lifestyle of looking down at your life and your losses through God's point of view. Remember, He is in control. Number two, live a lifestyle of embracing the presence of God so you don't feel abandoned when you have that loss. And number three is to know the promises of God. And this was just one promise. There are hundreds of promises that God says, I've got you covered. Know those promises. So when the time comes, you're not overwhelmed. We've all set our thermostat somewhere here today. Some of us may have it set over here on fatalism when it comes to loss. Some of us, when it comes to loss, may have our thermostat set over here to fear. God says, set your thermostat to faith. Live according to the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. To set your mind on the Spirit, God says that's life and that's peace. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we know that we are not exempt from loss. And for some reason, though it surprises us when it comes, we just think it would come later, it wouldn't come to us, or it would be somebody else. Will you prepare us for the losses that are coming by helping us set our eyes on you, set our face on you, to set our mind on you, to set our heart on you. Help us to set our thermostat to faith. In Jesus' name.